Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word. Please join us now as we hear a message from Pastor Toledo.
Now, what I'd like for everyone to do is to turn with me to the longest chapter of the Bible. The longest chapter of the Bible is Psalm, it's found in the Psalms, Psalms 119. It's 176 verses. And the author of this psalm is really not known, but most of the commentators speculate that it was either David or Ezra who wrote Psalm 119. Either way, I believe it's David. Most of the commentators lean towards David. They say it sounds like David. But either way, what's most important about Psalm 119 is the subject matter. And what makes this verse special, this passage, this chapter special, is not that it's so long. It's more its focus. And the focus of Psalm 119 is the Word of God. In fact, about 90% of the verses in this chapter actually mention the Word of God in a number of different ways. And we're going to be talking about the Word of God today. Now, part of the reason why I'm sharing this with you is because of my concern as a pastor. You know, as a pastor, I've got plenty of concerns. We've got all sorts of challenges around here, and you know, we got plenty of bills to pay, and we got more parking to pray in, and everybody said, amen, and we've been taking some ground in that area. We got all kinds of stuff happening, but out of all of the concerns that I have as a pastor, my biggest concern, and I know I speak for all of the pastors when I say this, and the staff, my biggest concern is you. It's how you're doing. My biggest concern is how you're walking with God. Is what is your relationship with God like? And, you know, I've been crying all day. I was like, Lord, I thought I was out of tears. But you've been heavy upon my heart. And I really believe the Lord put you on my heart. And I think all the time about how you're doing at home. And we pray for you. We pray for your marriage. We pray for how it's going with your children. We pray for your walk with God. We pray for how you're living when you go to work and when you go to school. And the staff, every Thursday we have staff meeting for the most part, every Thursday. And every Thursday we lift you up and we think about the potential places that you could be throughout the city and the different things that you might be doing. And we always pray, God, help them. Help your people, God. Bless them and strengthen them. God, be with them. And, you know, when I stand before God, the other leaders, when we stand before God, we will give an answer for your souls. The state of your soul is very, very important to us. And we know that God loves you, and we love you. And even though we don't know you, I want you to know we love you. And how you're doing really counts. We're not interested in being famous. We don't need a big, famous ministry. What we're interested in is walking with God together, so that we would all love and honor God. I want you to love and honor the Lord. How many would say amen? Amen. Now, here's the thing. There's no way that you could be strong. There's no way that you could be healthy without the Word of God in your life. No way. Impossible. And the general church research, Barna Institute, I'm going to read another one, Lifeway, says that when it comes to the Word of God, people are not doing so well. If you could put up this image, Statistics say that nowadays, 88% of households own a Bible. In other words, Bible ownership remains very strong. In fact, the average household has 4.7 Bibles in it. However, only 37% of Americans read it once a week or more. And then in another smaller survey, but I think very indicative of what the reality is, I believe it was Lifeway. Lifeway Research surveyed more than 2,900 Protestant churchgoers and found that while 90% desire to please and honor Jesus in all they do, only 19% of them personally read the Bible every day. That means less than 2 out of 10 people in the average evangelical church in America are reading their Bible every day. Even though the Bible is supposed to be like food, could you imagine what you would be like if you only ate 1.9 times a week? Jesus said, "I am the bread of life that comes down from heaven." And he told us to pray, "Give us this day our what? Our daily what?" How many know if we need physical bread, we also need spiritual bread? Can I get an amen? Amen. We need spiritual bread, and the statistics basically say that the people of God are not really taking in the Word of God. And meanwhile, the Word of God says so many powerful things. Let me read a few of them to you very quickly. First of all, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And everyone read this with me. "And the Word was God." The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This was talking about Jesus Christ, that the Word of God is Jesus Christ himself. How many know Jesus is the living Word? And if we want to experience Jesus and encounter Jesus, how many know we need to be taking in the Word? Here's another thing that the Bible says. "He has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." Through the Word of God and the promises of God, we experience and we enter into the divine nature, that supernatural walk that helps us to say no to the evil corruption of this world. It all happens through the Word of God. Jesus, when he was talking, listen, because you may not be thinking right. Jesus, when he was talking to some of the Pharisees or Sadducees, actually, he said to them, "You are in error." You know why you're in error? Because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. If you want to experience the power of God, you need to know the Word of God. It is through the Word of God that we access the power of God. This is so crucial and so important. Lastly, the Bible says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." It is so important today, as we look at Psalm 119, it is so important to understand the power of the Word. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. The Word of God is the one tangible and physical gift that has been given to us so that we can know the Lord, his kingdom, and his power. Listen, in Christianity, everything is by faith and unseen. It's all by faith. So Jesus did come to the earth, and he walked on the earth, but then he left. He left. He rose from the dead, and then he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he sent his Spirit. But how many know we can't always feel the Spirit, or we can't touch the Spirit? We know he's here, but we can't see him. He's not tangible. Sometimes you could be in a meeting, and you say, "Wow, the Spirit of God really manifested himself." But in general, we don't feel. We walk by faith and not by sight. Christianity is not a tangible faith, but the Word of God is tangible. The Word of God is his love letter to us, that if we will just take advantage of speaking to God through the Word, we can know him, we can know his kingdom and his power. Imagine how amazing a gift this is. This is so incredible because it is tangible. This is Jesus. I know this is a book with pages, but if you open up your heart and you draw near to God, then it becomes live. Hebrews says it's living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. Hallelujah. Amen. Let somebody say amen for the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so as I was reading Psalm 119, and I want to give you some homework, read Psalm 119. Take your time, spend the whole week reading it. But read this, and I want you to notice the emphasis on the Word of God. You can't be doing well if you're not reading the Word. If you only eat once a week, you're not going to be doing so well. If you eat physical food once a week, you're not going to be doing so well. It's the same thing. How many know this is spiritual food? This is eternal food. And God loves you. Listen to me. He loves you. And your life is important to Christ. What you're going through and how you live. But you have to take advantage of how he wants to meet you and speak to you. It's through the Word of God. That's the way he does it. So we're starting a series, and I'm titling the series, Six Steps to Experiencing the Word of God, because I read a passage of Scripture, and there were six things that jumped out at me. Just with one step is enough in a way, but I'm trying to teach people holistically because God wants us to experience his Word. So, for example, right here on this, music stand, there are these charts. Now, I have no idea what's on here. Okay? I have no idea. But someone could actually teach me what's on here and explain to me what's on here. But even though they explain to me what's on here, just because they explain to me what's on here, if I pick this up and try to play it, how many know I can't do what that says? You see? And there's a difference between having a surface knowledge and an experiential knowledge. Okay? God wants you to have an experiential knowledge of his word. Not a head knowledge, not a cultural knowledge, not a I grew up in church knowledge, an experiential knowledge, an everyday kind of knowledge. A here and the now, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I want to read the passage of Scripture that we're going to be focusing on here, okay, and then get right into it. Now, I want to say up front, today is an introductory message. Most of this message will be introductory, two simple points, and that at the end, I want to give you some practical advice on reading the Word of God. So let's read the Word. Let's get right into it. Psalm 119, starting with verse 33, it says, "Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things and preserve my life according to your word." So he's calling the word commands and statutes and the word and law. All of these different, when you read Psalm 119, there are all of these different names that are given to the precious word of God. Fulfill your promise. The word of God is a promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. In your righteousness, preserve my life. Now, before we get into the message, another key introductory point that I want to make is that as we look at these six steps to experiencing God's word, it's important for us to understand that these six steps will revolve around two core attitudes. And I want to tell you up front. The two core attitudes are, number one, show up to be taught. Number two, open up to be changed. If you want to experience the Word of God, You have to, number one, let's say it together, show up to be taught. Number two, everyone, open up to be changed. You have to show up to be taught. Number two, open up to be changed. And today, as we look at step one, the title of my message is going to be Become Like a Child. Become. Step one is become like a child. That's the first key to showing up to be taught, is that you have to become like a child. And before we pray, please look at me for a moment. Okay? This whole message is about two words. Teach me. Okay? Teach me. Today's sermon's two words. Teach me. Okay, now the reason why I say become like a child is because when I think about who wrote this, let's assume that it was David. When I think about the inspiration of his life and the victories of his life, and yes, he had a fall, but God said, this is a man after my own heart. This was a great man of God. It's important to know that David in this psalm said, teach me 8 times. Not once, not twice. Teach me 8 times. He kept asking over and over. He was begging for the Lord to teach him. And as we approach the Word of God, and we're going to get into this in a moment, as we approach the Word of God, it's important to know that we have to become like little children. How many want to experience God's Word? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this beautiful service. God, thank you for all of these precious people. I know that they're beautiful to you. I know that you love every person here. You sent your son to die for them, Lord. And he rose from the dead in power, oh God, to give each and every one of us life and life to the full. And God, we know today that we need your word in order to live that victorious, overcoming life that you have for us. And so I pray today, God, help us. We want to experience your word. I pray for the cold heart. I pray for the cynical heart. I pray for the hurt heart. I pray for the hard heart. I pray for the lazy heart. God, come by your mighty power. I pray for the distracted heart, oh God. God, I pray that nothing would keep us from experiencing your word, which gives us life. So bless this word, Lord. Give me the grace to communicate, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the first thing that that this passage, the first thing we're going to be covering here is that step one is become like a child. Become like a child. He says, teach me, O Lord. And when he says, teach me, O Lord, the spirit of it and the heart of it in the Hebrew is, you teach me, God. Okay? It's you teach me. When you go to the Word of God, you say, teach me. Well, he's saying, you teach me, Lord. You show me, God. I want to learn from you. That word teach me, it implies a student starting school to learn. When you come to the Word of God, you got to come like a student to learn. A lot of people, unfortunately, in my high school years, I went to school, but I wasn't there to learn. Okay? And sometimes we don't realize that we can come to the Word of God and we're doing it out of obligation, but we don't really have a heart to learn. Okay, this is having a heart to learn. If you want to experience the power of God, you got to have a heart to learn. Okay, it means to flow as water, to lay or throw. It's like, Lord, lay something on me. Here's a great word. God, lay your word. Lay a truth on me today as I open your word. That word throw, it means to shoot like an arrow. Some people need to say, God, shoot an arrow into my heart. I don't care, but God, teach me your word. Point it out, God. It means to point out. It means to literally to have someone say, look at this. This is what you need to do, or this is what you need to correct. Teach me. Point it out, God. Direct, inform, instruct. Okay, teach me is a very, very powerful thing because you're saying, Lord, I need you to help me, Lord. I need you to help me, God. Now listen to this. The spirit of teach me is become like a child. Look at what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 18, it says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth. Let's read these words in bold together. Unless you change and become like little children, okay? It says, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, what you have to realize is that that word enter is equal to access. You understand? You not only enter the kingdom by humbling yourself like a child, but you also gain access to the blessings and the riches of the kingdom when you humble yourself. How many of you, when we're proud and say, I got this, I know this, I can do this? How many know the Bible says God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble? But when you humble yourself like a child and say, God, I need you, then all of a sudden there's an incredible access. And part of the problem, part of the reason why we don't experience that tangible, powerful word of God, the word which God wants to use to unlock his intangible kingdom, part of the reason that that happens is because we're not becoming like little children. We have to become like little children. We have to say, help me, Lord. I need you. This is really kind of screaming a lot in my life right now because I have a grandson and he's 15 months old and it's just amazing. It's amazing how to watch him discover this world. I mean, you know, there's incredible things for us to discover about the kingdom of God. Listen to me. Becoming a child is the beginning of experiencing the wonders and power of God's love letter to us. There are amazing wonders in the Word of God, and the Word of God is powerful. It's so powerful, able to transform us from the inside out, but it begins by us being like little children. Now, I want to just make two points about little children. And then give you some practical advice on this subject. Now, when you think about a child and when you think about this whole topic of teach me, it's important for all of us to understand that a child lives with deep daily dependence. When the Bible says teach me here, it means deep daily dependence. It doesn't mean that oh God, give me what I need. I got this and I'm going to walk on my own. That's not what this means. This means that you're leaning on God in a deep and powerful way. Here's another way that it was put right in the same song. He said, my soul is consumed with longing for your laws. Everyone, the last three words, at all times. At all times. How many know? You know we need to feel for the word? We should long for the word at all times. Okay, some of us long for what's on HBO or NBC. But no, how many know? We need to long for his word at all times. Some people are longing for Instagram and Facebook and they, you know, could you imagine if we checked our Bible as much as we check our Facebook or Instagram, we would be walking scholars. Come on. Am I right? If we were checking in, all right, here's a challenge. Every time you check your Instagram, check the word. Hallelujah. Get the word of God in your heart and watch the transformation take place. It says, my soul is consumed with longing. Don't you see? That's what's happening. All of these voices, so you won't listen to the most important voice. So you won't listen to the powerful voice. The voice that is able to really, really transform you. We're talking about daily dependence. You know what daily dependence means moment by moment? Daily dependence means that you're really leaning on God. Now, yesterday, my grandson, Wesley, came over for a little while. Josh and Susie dropped him off. And so Chrissy and I had him all to ourselves. He goes, Grandpa, Grandpa, Grandpa. I love that, Grandpa. You know? But here's the thing that you notice about little children. Little children are dependent on whoever's taking care of them for everything. For everything. He's been taught we have to feed him, we have to change him, we have to protect him, we have to guard him, we have to block the stairs so he won't fall down. We got to do everything. He's dependent on us for everything. They're teaching him sign language. And so he learned this. You know what this means? It means more. So when you feed him, he's like, more, 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 more. And it's crazy because he's filling his mouth with it. And as he's filling his mouth, he's like, chill out. It's already in there. It's full. But he's going, more, more, more. This happened yesterday. More. Hungry. You know? But he's not going in the cabinet himself. He's asking us for. He's dependent upon us. He's waiting. All throughout the day, he's reaching out to us and help me up on the bed. See, when you really want to experience the Word of God, you have to develop a heart that says, moment by moment, God, I lean upon you. I lean upon you, God. You know, the awesome thing about serving God is that you can give up the weight and the pressure. You can trust God. You can lean upon God. He can help you. How many know the Bible says, praise be to the living God who daily bears our burdens. You don't have to carry that burden on your own. How many know we have a great burden bearer to walk this life with us? Blessed be the name of the Lord. But there's this attitude where I was saying it this way. So Pastor Matt was sitting with Mandy in the earlier service, and I was saying, so Justice and Anna, every day they wake up, they're little. So every day that they wake up, the way they wake up is this. They wake up and say, okay, this is Mom and Dad's world, and we're going to live it like they say. You know? We're going to eat what they give us to eat. Mom, what's for dinner? Mom, where are we going? Mom, are we going to the park today? Mom, are we doing this? Mom, are we doing that? But we wake up and say, this is my world, and I'm going to live it however I want. You see? But what God is saying is that we wake up and say, teach me, Lord. This is your world. And I will live it exactly how you show me. Instruct me, Lord. How many want to be taught by Jesus how to live this life? Oh, teach us, God. Hallelujah. But it takes profound, profound dependence on God. It takes a leaning upon the Lord. Now let's think about this, okay? So how do you describe leaning upon the Lord? I need to say this quickly. But what does that mean? Well, for one thing, if we've been given this precious gift of the Word of God, right? Jesus taught us to pray. We should pray, give us this day our daily what? Do you know that Jesus was the one who said, I'm the bread of heaven, I'm the bread of life that came down? And if we ask him for physical bread, shouldn't we ask him for spiritual bread? So one of the things that happened about this happened like, you know, about 30 years ago, actually, no, 25 years ago, I was talking to Pastor Simba, my pastor, and I was asking him how to read the Word, and he was telling me, well, you need to fill yourself with the Word. You need to fill yourself with the Word of God. It's important to be filled with the Word of God. And so I tried to read it and get myself full. And then when Chrissy and I got married a couple years later, we worked at a Bible school. And so when we worked at this Bible school, I was the head of the kind of music department that traveled to kind of make people aware of the school in Rhode Island. Chrissy directed the music department there, very similar to what we're doing now. And she had a choir. And I remember calling Pastor Simba and saying, Pastor, look, first of all, I'm not really into this preaching gig I got right now. Because what happened is they wanted me to travel with the group and to preach at the different churches when the choir finished singing. They wanted a message, and that fell upon me. I was like, Pastor Simba, I don't know how to preach. I don't want to preach. I don't like preaching. He's like, Al, God has called you to do this. You got to do it. And I was like, well, how do you prepare? I don't even know. We go to a different church every time. I don't even know the people. What am I supposed to do? And you know what he said to me? He said, well, don't prepare. And I was like, well, thanks a lot, Pastor. That's very helpful. That really boosts me up. But here's what he said. He said, Al, look. He said, fill yourself all throughout the week with the Word of God. Okay, and then take a yellow sticky pad with you and sit in the meeting. And as the songs are going by, just pray for the voice, the whisper of the Spirit. God's going to show you. He's going to, if you're filling yourself with the Word of God, He's going to show you what Bible verse He wants you to speak on. He said, and then write something down and then go up. He said, Al, in the New Testament, there were no prepared sermons. Listen to the kind of life God wants to live with you. This is not just for preachers. He's like, there were no prepared sermons. In fact, he said to his disciples, he said, when you go before the magistrates, when you go before the kings, he said, don't even worry about what you're going to say. You know why? Because words will be given to you. Imagine the power of the walk of that God wants to really have with you and with me. That if we would take the time to fill ourselves with the Word, it doesn't matter what kind of situation we face. It doesn't matter what kind of circumstance. How many know when you're full of the Holy Spirit and power, God will make you more than a conqueror. God will enable you to stand persecution and difficulty and hardship. He'll help you to say no. He'll help you to praise when it hurts. He'll help you to love when someone's hating. He'll help you to forgive. All of those supernatural things that the Bible talks about will happen. But we can't predict what's going to happen in the day, but how many know God can? God knows what's coming, and if you take the time to just fill yourself day by day. Now let's look at the mathematics of this, and we'll move on to one point. We'll be done. Let's say, for example, I always encourage people, read the book of Psalms. I read Psalms every day. You know why? Because Psalms is the worship book of the Bible. And we're supposed to enter His gates with what? Thanksgiving. See, everybody should know that verse. I'm going to teach you a verse right now. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Everybody should know that verse. When you approach God, approach Him with thanksgiving and praise. And so since the book of Psalms is this book of worship, I encourage people, read at least one of those chapters. And then if you're young in the Lord, read a chapter in the New Testament. Okay? One psalm. One chapter in the New Testament. Now let's do the math for a second. Okay, and I'm telling you, this is the conversation my pastor had with me many, many years ago. So if you read two chapters a day, right? And there's 30 days on average in a month, okay? Two times 30 is what? 60. Six times six is 36. So if you read two chapters of the Bible every day for 6 months, then you would have read 360 chapters of the Bible. Now let's take it to 12 months, okay? If you read two chapters a day, which is not hard. Everyone say not hard, okay? Not hard. You read two chapters a day of the Bible, of the Word of God, for a whole year. At the end of the year, you would have read 720 chapters of the Word of God. And let me tell you something. If you got 720 chapters of the Word of God, how many know you're going to start walking in power and in authority and in faith and in hope and in strength and in victory? See, but what happens with people, and here's the key takeaway, okay? Okay, don't give up on revelation so quickly. Because some people, they read the Word of God. They read one day, 2 days. Oh, that's it. I got nothing out of it. Give the Word of God some time. It's a seed. The Word of God, the Bible says that the Word is a seed. Let the seed germinate. Let it grow. Let things happen. I'm telling you, when you put good stuff into your heart, let me tell you, good stuff comes out. The word of God does not come back void. You can be assured if you take the time to put it in, stuff is going to begin to grow. But be patient. Be patient. Just read. You're not going to feel something every day. Some days you will feel something. The Bible will talk to you, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But you got to be patient. Let the word of God find good soil. Just be like a child. Say, God, I depend upon you, Lord. I can't do this, God, without you. Oh, God, like David, I say, thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Hide your word in my heart, God. Daily dependence. I want to appeal to you because I love you. I'm telling you this because I love you. Okay? Read the Word of God every day. Read the Word of God every day. Every time you open the Bible, God wants to talk to you. And sometimes you don't fully realize what He's saying, but He is saying it. This is a supernatural word. And if it finds good soil, you're going to be changed. You'll find yourself in a moment and go, oh, snap, I can't believe that good stuff came out of me. Powerful. Amazing. Now, secondly, a child is open to God's version of reality versus present reality. When the Bible says, teach me, it's saying, teach me according to the way that you say, God, not the way that I see. There are two realities. There's present reality. There's the reality of the physical senses, and then there are the realities of the ever-present kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, the kingdom of God is in you. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? He's inside of you. And He wants to show you His world, His way. But you have to be, if you don't take the time to receive what the Word is saying, you see, a little child, you say to a little child like this, hey, listen, okay? Let's go outside, let's put some wings on, and let's fly. And they're like, cool, let's go. Where are they? See? But you say that to an adult, I'm like, well, how are we going to fly? I hope the seats are not too small. I get backaches when we fly. You know what I mean? We're cynical. We're cynical. And then the promises of God are coming, and we're cynical. We're unbelieving. This is His world. This is His kingdom. If God says, build an ark, guess what you should do? Get out and start building. He says, build an ark because the rain is coming. It doesn't matter if the sun is shining. You build that ark because if God says the rain is coming, how many know? The rain is coming. Hallelujah. The rain is coming. If God says, go confront Pharaoh with a little stick, then you go and confront Pharaoh. Say, but who am I? Don't worry. It's not about who you are. It's about who I am. If I say go, how many know? When God says go, we go. He says, fight that giant with a sling and a stone. Then guess what you do? You fight that giant with a sling and a stone. You see, but you got to be open to God's world, God's reality. Look at what He said. He said, open my eyes. Let's read this together. Ready? Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. What do you see? What do you see when you look at this life? Negativity? Darkness, hurt, blame, trauma. That's not what we should see. We should see Jesus is coming back. We should see the word of God is true. Blessing is on the way. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the first verse we ever taught our oldest daughter, who's now a mom. And I love it because now they're teaching. I called, we FaceTimed the other day, and I heard Josh singing to him, the Bible is God's word, take it wherever you go. The Bible, and once he goes, the Bible. Oh, that he would put that in our hearts. The Bible is God's word. I take it wherever I go. Oh, if somebody, he said just a seed, a mustard seed of faith in our hearts can cause us to speak to a mountain and be cast into the sea. Imagine the kind of strength and authority, brothers. Listen, brothers, God wants you to be a man of strength, a man of authority, a man of faith, a man of victory, a man who can bring healing, a man who can speak life, a man who can speak hope. That is the promise of God. That is the will of God. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. That's what the Word of God wants to do with us. Those unschooled fishermen. Listen, the first disciples, no PhDs on that crew. Just simple men who received the Word of God and believed the Word of God. Listen, if you doubt the Word of God or argue with the Word of God, then you won't be blessed by the Word of God. Just be a child. If God says this, then this it is. Trust him, believe him. They say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. You read those two chapters a day for the next 30 days and then come back and talk to me and tell me how you're doing. People underestimate the power of God. Now, let me say this to you very quickly. Practical advice in 5 minutes, okay? So help you. So I was preaching in a sermon, a message a couple weeks ago. I don't remember how many exactly, but I put up a chart, okay? Do we have that chart? How many, if we're here, remember this? Okay, so this chart was based on Proverbs 12, 11, okay? I'm going to read the verse in a second, but this talks about fantasy. Fantasy, we said, is fake success, fake relationships, fake progress, fake sexual fulfillment, okay? So I was reading Proverbs chapter 12, 11, and how do we get to something like this? So do we have Proverbs 12, 11? Here it is. Right, let's read this together. Ready? Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense, okay? So when you read the Word of God every day, everyone say every day. If you want, twice a day. Okay? When we read the Word of God, I want to give you a simple illustration that will help you. Okay? It's kind of like a tree. Could you put this up? So whatever Bible passage or Bible verse you're reading is kind of like a tree. First thing, it's important for you to understand the root of that passage, which is the historical context. First thing I did today is I explained who the author is, when was the time that it was written, so to speak, and who do we believe it was, so that you have an understanding, because different times use words differently. For example, if I say, I don't know, when I was a kid, they said, yo, he kicked the bucket. Somebody kicked the bucket, it meant he died, right? But 400 years ago, if you say, yo, he kicked the bucket, the image in the person, guy went up and he kicked the bucket, right? So you have to understand when it was written and who wrote it. That's the historical context. If you read the Bible without the basic context, you're going to misinterpret all kinds of things because you're going to read what's in your head. You're not supposed to read what's in your head. You're supposed to get what's in God's head. And so you let the Bible speak to you. Don't put your stuff on the Bible. Let the Bible speak to you. Key? So the key is first of all, you get the frame, which is the historical context, and then you ask yourself, whenever you read the Bible, ask it questions. It's like who, what, how, when, what is the main truth? If you ask these questions, the main truth will start to jump out at you. Then there's also supporting truths many times when you read a passage of Scripture, things that emanate from the main truth. And then there's even application. The fruit is what you eat. Like, how do I apply this to my life? And always, listen, what do you put on the seed? You put prayer. You rain down prayer upon the word of God. Okay, so let's take Proverbs 12 very quickly. I just read it to you. So the historical context of this passage was, thank you, here's again, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. The historical, what is the root of this? Explaining, you need to know it was a proverb. A proverb is small pieces of advice written by King Solomon. And by the way, I know there are others not written by King Solomon, so I got it. Then, just for the sake of this conversation, get what I mean. Small piece of advice written by King Solomon, which can have a huge impact on your life if you apply it. That's what a proverb is. Amen? That's the context. Okay, now let's, the main truth, this is the way I got it. God might slightly speak to you. It's basically one interpretation, many applications. You might say it differently, but here it is. Hard work leads to blessing, but dwelling on fantasies is foolishness. That's the main truth of it. Okay, here's some supporting truths when you really break it down. Supporting truth number one, hard work is hard, but it's still better than easy dreaming. Come on, that'll preach right there. Come on, you stay here. I'm going to preach about another 40 minutes just on this one right here, right? So that's one of the supporting truths of this. The second supporting truth, and this is how we ended up at that chart, is it's foolish to entertain fantasy because it leads to emptiness. So remember the questions, what kind of emptiness? What kind of fantasy? How does that happen? If you ask the Bible those questions, it will start to speak to you. If you sit with the word of God and say, God, speak to me, it will speak to you. It'll speak back to you, right? And then there's the application, okay? There's the application. So the application can be like, okay, God, Lord, help me to see the value and blessing of work. Some people, they're grown up, they were spoiled, they want everything handed to them. Maybe you're here today and you don't work hard, and God leads you to this passage, then you got to say, God, I'm not working hard. Or maybe you hear you say, I hate my job. I can't stand my job. But God, here's what your word says. Okay, your word says that I should work hard because if I sit around and do nothing, I won't be blessed. But if I work hard, so God, help me to see the value and blessing of work. Please, Lord, give me grace to work hard. God, you know I can't stand this job. And look, God doesn't mind honesty. I actually told the Lord once, God, I can't stand this job. Please get me out of here. And he did, hallelujah. Sometimes he doesn't. So you know what you say? God, give me grace to work hard. God, I'm going to work so hard, they're going to promote me right out of this place, God. I believe you, God. I know because you said in your word, you said whoever works hard will have abundant food. God, bring me into blessing. How many would say amen? Praise God. Another person might pray, God, help me to identify fantasy in my life. I don't want to waste time, God. Help me, Lord. Help me with this or help me with that. And so what happens, guys, is you get a hold of the word of God, right? What happens is you get a hold of the word of God. I was explaining this morning. If the singers could come, we're going to sing one moment here. Well, maybe we won't sing. We don't have time, but listen. Every morning, okay, I meet God in my robe with a cup of holy brew. I was saying, I've gotten efficient at this. My office is in the basement in the house, and my coffee maker is not even in the kitchen. I got it right in the closet, right in the office. Short. So I go down, get my cup of coffee. Coffee's in the book of Leviticus someplace. You'll find it. Don't worry. So coffee. The word. And I open up the Bible, and my wife majors on this. It's in the word, but she majors on this. You know, I guess it's why she's a worship leader. So you open the word of God, where God is leading you to read. And the Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So even before you read, you open it and you say, God, this is the day that you have made. And I will be glad and rejoice in it, God. Because, Lord, you're a good God. You're faithful, God. Thank you, God, for waking me up this morning. Thank you for your many blessings, oh God. Thank you for your goodness and your greatness and your faithfulness, God. Lord, I say like David did, I rise early to meet you today. Because, Lord, my dependence is upon you. And, God, I want to begin by thanking you, God, for your goodness to my life. I thank you and I worship you, God. That's why sometimes, guys, when I look at you and I don't see you worshiping, I get so concerned. I get so concerned. It's not worry, but I get concerned. Because I know if you don't worship God here, you don't worship God when you're alone. I know you don't. But how are you going to meet him if you don't express your dependence to him? You can't do this in your own strength. You can't do this in your own power. I'm telling you this because I love you. But there's nothing more beautiful than getting before the Lord and saying hallelujah to the King. Hallelujah. You're worthy, God. You're the giver of life. My life may not be perfect, but you are perfect and you're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. One of the psalmists said, praise awaits you here, oh God. I pray that all the time in the morning. God, praise awaits you right here in this basement, God. God, be drawn because praise is, I praise you, I praise you. I love you, God, I thank you, God. Hallelujah. God, from the bottom of my heart, I praise you, God. I praise you, God. And I say, God, open my eyes now that I might see the wonderful things in your law. Chapter after chapter. I'm telling you right now, he loves you so much. Listen, he loves you. The Lord loves you. He doesn't want you to live alone. He doesn't want you to live empty. Jesus didn't die so that you could have some kind of distant religious experience or understanding. He wants to walk with you and talk to you. He wants you to be able to say, like, well, after Jesus rose from the dead, his disciples, they didn't fully recognize him, but they were with him. And then when they got it, they said, did not our hearts burn with when we were with the Lord? My heart was burning. I want you to know what it is to have your heart burning because you've spent time with God. What is there better? Who do you want to meet that's better? What do you want to experience that's better? I plead with you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you. He loves your family. He loves your children. He wants to bless you. He promised that he's a reward of them that diligently seek him. All you got to do is just open up that word. Open up that word and listen to me. Listen to me, when you get a promise, sometimes, I'm telling you, there were days where you, listen, let me, last thing, I know I got to get you out of here, but listen. Sometimes you read the Bible and you don't really get much. There are dry seasons. Read it anyway. Because, first of all, remember, eating is necessary for life. If you starve yourself with the word, you're starving your very soul. You're starving your spirit and your emotions. And then when you're depressed, when you're negative, when you're discouraged and dark, don't you realize that the reason is that you haven't filled yourself with the nourishing word? Many of us here, we grew up and our moms were not like chefs from some fancy restaurant. It was straight meat and potatoes, but how many know it made us strong? Some days the word of God feels like an incredible thing, some days it doesn't, but remember, this is supernatural. Fill your heart with the word of God, because how many know when that seed germinates and it grows, something powerful happens in you from the inside out. No matter how you feel in the morning, it is working because it is the word of God. Hallelujah. But listen, and I'll close with this. Sometimes you're reading. Look right here. This is one of my favorite verses. Psalm 125 says, I just turned to it. And you could do this with any verse in the Bible, but those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. So sometimes I'll pray, I'll say, God, make me like a mountain. In myself, God, there's nothing good, but God, I know. Learn to get on your knees when you read the Word of God. And say, God, make me like a mountain. God, make me strong. Teach me to trust you. Those who trust in the Lord, they won't be shaken. God, make me like a mountain. God, surround my people, surround my wife, surround Chrissy, Lord. Surround Susie and Andy and Tommy. Surround Wesley, God. Keep us firm. Keep us strong. God, you promised it. God, I put my trust in you for the sake of my family. I put my trust in you this morning, God. God, surround my family, God. Oh, God, I know that you're faithful and that you're true. God, I'm going to praise you all day, God, because I gave my family to you, and I know you're taking care of them, God. You're going to take care of my family, God, and I bless you, God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's bless him right now. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. You're beautiful, God. Everyone stand to your feet. I want you to take the Bible, put it on your heart. Oh, I want to worship God right now so bad, we gotta go. I just want to sing to him with you. Would you sing to him in the car? Would you sing to the Lord? Would you minister to God today? He's so good. He's so faithful. The chorus of this says, you are beautiful.
You are beautiful in all your ways.
You're so beautiful, God.
You are beautiful in all your ways.
Hallelujah.
You are beautiful in all your ways. You are beautiful in all your ways.
God, we know that you're wonderful and magnificent and beautiful. God, sometimes because our hearts are not full of your word, our minds, we think the wrong things about you. We look back at the hardships of this life, which your word says are just temporary. And God, we choose to build our lives around our hurts, our pains, our fears, our distractions. But God, today, we want to look away from the realities of this world. And we want to look to the unseen realities of your kingdom, oh God. God, open our eyes that we might see the wonderful things in your law. God, make us the kind of people that take the time to fill our hearts with the word, oh God. Make every man here a man of the word. Make every woman here a woman of faith, a woman of the word. Faith comes by hearing, and the hearing of the word of God. God, we ask that you would help us to rearrange our schedules, rearrange our desires, rearrange our focus, rearrange whatever needs to be rearranged so that we would become men and women of the Word. I pray that it goes from 20% to 100% here. That we would all read the Word of God and seek your face every day. God, we have to go now, Lord. But God, I pray, Lord, that this time of communion would continue. God, I pray that you would release your people to seek your face. You are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. So God, put a spirit of diligent seeking in every heart, in every mind, above and beyond all things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added, your word says. So we thank you, we praise you for all these things. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Could we praise God for his goodness? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.